Well, on Wednesday nights, we are studying both the stanzas of Psalm 119. We each have 8 verses, an acrostic, that psalm, taking each letter of the Hebrew alphabet and 8 lines in each of the, not 8 stanzas, but 22 stanzas, each with 8 lines. We're also going to look at the Psalms of Ascent. We've looked at the first Psalm of Ascent. Tonight, we're going to introduce Psalm 119 by reading the first stanza, which is the first 8 verses, as well as one other verse. And then we'll think about some of the terms for God's word that are introduced even in this, the very beginnings here of the psalm. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I will not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. You will notice that even in these first 8 verses, you hear that variety of words that are all synonyms for God's word or God's law. Law, testimonies, ways, precepts, statutes, commandments, rules. Another verse I want us to think about tonight is Psalm 119:97, which some commentators say is perhaps the theological center or focus of the psalm. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. This isn't a dry and dusty book on a shelf. He says he loves this law such that he meditates on it all day. And meditation in that time would have been thinking on the idea of walking and muttering into your beard. That is, if you're a rabbi, you imagine the rabbi or the scribe walking around with the long beard and muttering, speaking God's word on his heart, even on his lips throughout the day. This, of course, reminds us of the first psalm in the Psalter. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. So as we seek to develop a love for God's word, and we are seeking to pray God's word here on Wednesday nights, that's our purpose, praying God's word, I want us to study these terms here for tonight as our way of getting us into the ideas that Psalm 119 is trying to teach. And of course, it's a prayer. It would also have been sung. And so, law. Law is the first one. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Well, law is the chief term used here. And its parent verb means teach or direct. So law here is saying God's law, God's revelation of himself. It can mean one single law or it can mean God's word as a whole. God's law. It reminds us that God's word is a revelation of himself, of his holy character. And as it is that means it's not just meant for interesting discussion, but God's word is meant for obedience. James, our Lord's brother, would bring this out in his letter. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Well, that verse deserves its own sermon. And so we have God's law. We also have God's testimonies. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies. In Deuteronomy 31:26, we read, take this book of the law, at that point we're talking about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, take this book of the law and put it by the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against you. The Word of God talks straight, and it talks straight with high standards and with direct and frank warnings. It is a faithful and true witness for God, as that is a testimony, that it would be a testimony of God to the people sitting there by the ark. It would have been read. It was commanded to be read to kings. It's a faithful and true witness for God. It witnesses to his holy character. God's testimonies are the delight of the psalmist. We have law, testimonies, we have precepts. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. This word precept refers to the details of Scripture. An officer or an overseer must look closely at a situation, discern the important details, and take action. He must attend to his subjects. For example, in Jeremiah 23:2, we are told that God will attend to his shepherds who have failed to attend to the flock. To say the Christian life is not about rules, but is about a relationship, is to confuse the foundation of the faith. God does care about details. We're learning about this as on Sunday mornings we study Jesus' upper room teaching in the book of John, where he's teaching us the way of salvation, for example, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord does care about the details. His instructions are particular. They are his precepts. They are also his statutes. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. These speak of the binding force and the permanence of Scripture. The prophets referred to it as laws to be engraved or inscribed, and inscribed in stone and spiritually on our hearts for the time to come as a witness forever. You can look in Isaiah 30:8. Friends, the moral law of God is to the whole world for all times. There are no exceptions. God's statutes are binding and are permanent. We also have his commandments. Having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. God has ultimate authority. This word commandment emphasizes the straight authority of what is said. This is not just the power to convince or persuade. The Word of God gives orders that are expected to be kept. They are, in fact, commandments. There are also rules, decrees, ordinances. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. In the Old Testament, these were called judgments. Decisions of an all-wise judge about common human situations, and hence the revealed rights and duties appropriate to them. In other words, Scripture is the standard given by God to guide the fair dealings between human beings, that is, men and women and boys and girls. His rules, his decrees, his ordinances, his judgments, these are God's way of giving us a standard that guides the way we deal with one another. It's simply called his word as well. This is the most general term, and it embraces all of God's truth in any form, whether stated, whether promised, whether commanded. The Scripture, the Bible, is God's word. Thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Sometimes it's referred to as a promise. This is very similar to referring to the Bible or to the Scripture as God's word, God's promise. God's words have his character backing them up. His word can be trusted. And as far as his written word, it reminds us to read it, and to read it according to the genre of Scripture or the type of communication he is using to communicate a particular concept. Again, it was written, it's books all put together into one book. 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New, put together 66 of different genre. And so you read a law as a law, a promise as a promise, a general nugget of wisdom as that, a prophecy as a prophecy, a prayer as a prayer, a history as history, etc. So some of these aspects of God's word is simply his promise that he's faithful, his word is true, it can be trusted. It's also referred to as his ways. There is a prevailing tone or sense or direction to God's word. We are to walk in his ways and in his ways alone. How can we know the way? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And so Psalm 119, it's about worshiping God. It's not about worshiping the word. Evangelical Christians are sometimes accused of this. It's about worshiping God. Every reference to Scripture after verse 4 in Psalm 119 relates explicitly to the author of Scripture. These are prayers or affirmations addressed to God. You know, I even think here about Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. As his word is written upon our heart, our character becomes more like his, and our prayers line up with his will. And so as we delight in him, as we delight in his word, we're delighting in him. As we delight in him, we are delighting in his word, for it expresses, it's the revelation of himself to us. And of course, the final word was Jesus. The written word is the Bible that we have. And so we're learning to pray God's word like the psalmists do. You know, these prayers, these affirmations are addressed to God. This is robust Christian piety or spirituality, our study of the word. And so as we meditate on it day and night, we will be refreshed, informed, and nourished. And so our prayers as well will be prayers that come from those who have been refreshed by God's word, who have been informed by God's word, who have been nourished by God's word. And so let's pray God's word. Amen.